Paschvottanasana. This is the single leg forward bend, or side of hip stretch. Paschva in Sanskrit means flank, or we can think side of hip, I suppose. Uttana, of course, is to stretch, lengthen strongly. As with all standing poses, the position of the feet is important. It's our foundation. So in this pose, we align the feet in a similar way to we do in warrior poses. You can think that your front foot is perhaps three, or it could be a little more, three or four of your own feet length forward. And you always start, of course, in the mountain pose, to align the body in mountain pose. But once you're aligned in mountain pose, then we step into the base position. So if we're going to do the pose with our right foot forward, we'd step the right foot forward at least three of our own feet lengths. But it could be more than that. It could be three to four, maybe even a little more. And you want to really keep your hips and torso facing to the front. So keep squaring your hips to the front. It is helpful when you're teaching people the pose or when you're learning it to keep the hands on the hips, squaring the hips. If they're squarer, the elbows will be out to the side, aligned with each other, or more closely aligned with each other. And the position of the feet, like the warrior poses, our front foot is at 12 o'clock and our rear foot is at 10 o'clock, although some people may prefer to slightly change that. Some people will do the pose closer to a 90 degree angle with the back foot, but for most of us teaching, I'd encourage you to teach that back position at 10 o'clock, so more of a 45 degree angle. And all of the instructions we've given for the foundation of the feet in warrior pose apply in this pose. So really lifting and spreading the toes and engaging all the four corners of each foot is very helpful before you start bending. You check your hips are square, you check that your shoulders are over the hips. And, of course, we want to always be aware of contraindications for any pose. Anyone with sciatica problems needs to be very careful in any of these forward bends, so that's something to be mindful of. Anyone who's got hamstring troubles will, of course, need to be very careful with this posture. And anyone who has problems with their shoulders needs to be mindful, as well as lower back problems. So if any of these issues are present, we need to exercise great care in the way we access the pose. And some of us might still be able to do the pose with those conditions, but we need to modify the posture, and it may well be more of a gesture of the pose rather than going fully into it. So remember, every posture can be modified, adapted. Learning to go into the pose, the simplest way of learning to go into the pose when you're teaching it to people for the first time is to bring the hands to the hips, or keep them on the hips, and practice the forward bend with the hands on the hips. So really becoming more familiar with the bending without having to worry about what's happening with the upper body. And for many people, it will help them to bend that front knee when they come into the pose. And once they feel stable enough, they can start straightening that front leg. In the full pose, the legs are usually straightened when we go into the pose, but my own experience teaching people is it adds safety. Unless someone's very familiar and comfortable with the posture, it adds a safer dimension to invite people to bend the front knee as they go into the pose and then straighten. There are variations for the arms. In the full pose, when someone's very comfortable in their body, lower back is fine. We can have the arms, we can inhale them above the head and then exhale down into the side of hip stretch as we go into that forward bend. But if there's lower back problems, we don't want to strain that lower back, so we wouldn't have the arms over the head. And there are other options. Another beautiful way to do the pose is with the hands in the namaste position, that pranam pose, behind the body, and the back of the hands pressing into the upper spine. So if someone is able to access that hand position, that's a very nice way to do the pose. And if you're doing that as you work with the pose, you can be really lifting those hands a little more, pressing them into the spine. Other ways we can do the pose, with the fingers interlocked behind the body, and we elevate the arms and lengthen the arms as we come into the side of hip stretch. And another option is for people to hold their elbows behind their back as they go into the pose. So these are all different options. And when we're teaching it for the first time, just giving people the experience of bending with the hands on the hips can be very helpful. So the movement into the pose, we're really hinging at the hips as we come down, and that movement down is on the out-breath, so you can invite people to exhale and ground through the feet, inhale and lengthen up through the spine, and then when they're ready, folding into the forward bend. And sometimes it's nice for people to take some breaths with the torso parallel to the body and really lengthen that spine, and then when they're ready to exhale further down into the pose, and as they exhale down into the pose, the lower spine leads the movement towards the upper leg. Hips stay square, the abdomen starts moving into the upper leg or towards it. The mid-spine moves down, the chest starts to move down. It's important we don't lead with the neck. Keep that neck relaxed. So with the in-breaths, if you lift a fraction and lengthen the spine all the way from the base of the spine through the crown of the head, and then as you exhale, you again lower further into the pose, lower spine leading the movement, and at the end of the movement, the neck is activated and the head moves down. So working with the in and out breaths is a wonderful way to deepen the stretch progressively, subtly backing off a little, lengthening on the in-breath, the spine, and as you exhale, moving a little further into the pose, lower spine leading the movement, and the abdomen comes towards the upper legs. As you're deepening the stretch, the legs are straightening more and more, both the front and back legs, and the hamstrings get a very strong stretch in this posture. So it's a really wonderful pose for toning the legs and the hammies. For people who are very confident in the pose and want to balance more in the pose and intensify the hamstring stretch, you can adjust the position of the back foot so that you can start to bring the back foot more in the direction of 12 o'clock. So if it's at 10 o'clock, you can bring it towards 11 o'clock and then even towards 12 o'clock for those who are extremely well balanced and very confident in the pose. But otherwise, we'll have that back foot at 10 o'clock as we work through the posture. Stay in the pose as is appropriate for you, or if you're teaching it, as is appropriate for your student or students. And when it is time to come out of the posture, when people are learning it, good to invite them to bend that front knee, stabilize the front foot, and slowly lift up into the upright standing position again. And when you've completed the pose on this side, step back to mountain pose and you prepare to do the pose on the other side. So in this posture, we're really activating hip flexion and adduction. And if you tune in, you'll really feel the strength of your psoas muscle, the iliac psoas muscle, and the adductors, your inner thigh muscles, they'll really be very activated. And of course, the hamstrings and the gluteus medius will be really stretching. It's a closed hip pose, okay? So we're keeping the hips square as we activate the posture. You'll notice that some students doing this pose will experience uneven forward bending, and that is just an indicator that there is some lack of symmetry in the area of the hips, the waist, and spine. The pose really illuminates any lateral posture imbalances that we might pick up in someone when they're just in the basic Tadasana pose. And if you have an uneven height of the sides of the pelvis, that might indicate that there's a smaller lumbar curvature there, a small lumbar curvature. When you tune into what's happening in your legs, you really notice differences in both the legs and the toning and flexibility of the hamstrings. It is quite a strong posture, and people who have balance issues could feel uncertainty moving in and out of the pose. So important to really give them that tip about bending the front knee and stabilizing the front foot, and when they're ready, they start straightening the legs. Adding to the contraindications we mentioned earlier, of course, any ankle problems, knee problems, and indeed hip problems will be issues when we go into the pose. But it is a wonderful posture in so many ways for toning the hips, opening them up, and also the shoulders. This is a pose that can be very helpful in promoting spinal alignment if done correctly, consistently. Can lessen the curvatures of scoliosis and Mukunda Stiles, he really recommends this pose as part of a structural therapy program for spinal alignment. And of course, as those hammies lengthen, then any limitations in the movement of the hips related to those tight hammies will be corrected, and people will find that it'll have benefit in terms of their spinal health and freedom. It's important to recognize the benefits for the upper body in the pose too, really freeing those shoulders, and depending on the hand position, we'll have slightly different experiences there, but freeing a lot of energy in the thoracic area around the shoulder blade area when the pose is done correctly. There are obviously many poses that can prepare us for this. So any forward bending poses, any of those that we're comfortable with, whether seated or standing, are going to prepare us in many ways. And in terms of opening up the upper body and the arms, the face of light or cow posture is a very helpful pose for preparing the arms and the shoulders for the full Pashvottanasana. When it comes to counter poses, it is primarily a forward bend, so any back bend is going to be helpful. But of course, the legs have had a very strong stretch, the back of the legs, so any poses where we're bending the knees will also help counterpose that strong stretch of the hamstrings and calves. And because it is quite a strong posture, and balance is often an issue for people, particularly more mature people, important to use a gaze or drishti, and commonly people will be looking more towards the tip of the nose, but if they're doing a modified form, they might find that there's a point directly in front of the gaze that they can direct their attention to. Pashvottanasana. Enjoy this pose.